People of Note on Fine Music Radio is proudly brought to you each week at this time by Peter Turin Productions. You're listening to Fine Music Radio, and this is Rodney Trudgeon welcoming you to this week's edition of People of Note. Now, I don't know if you were at the concert recently on the 26th of September, Thursday, when the soloist was Maria du Toit playing two relatively new concertos, a premiere and a South African premiere. And she was playing with the Cape Town Philharmonic, conducted by Ariane Tin, who, as you may or may not know, is her husband. So I managed to catch Maria before she fled, going back to Holland, to find out more about these works and just what she's been up to. Because, first of all, Maria is, as you probably know, a South African-Dutch clarinetist who is internationally in demand as both soloist and chamber musician, and she's performed as soloist with so many orchestras across the globe that the list will take a while to read out. She gives masterclasses and workshops across the USA, Europe, Asia, and South Africa, and she's a true ambassador for music by South African composers, as we'll hear. In fact, she's already released three albums and received the SAMA Award, the South African Music Award nomination, for her album Luminous Shade with the acclaimed pianist Nina Schumann. So, Maria, welcome. Welcome to People of Note here on Fine Music Radio.
Thank you very much for having me.
I know you're just about to leave, but these concertos you're playing, the one by David Earl and the other one by Conrad Assmann, will be heard. If people weren't able to get to the concert a couple of weeks ago, they will be able to hear them when we rebroadcast them, the delayed broadcast on Fine Music Radio. So I thought, let's start talking about that, because there's so much I want to talk to you about.
Yes.
And it must be quite an honor, because both these were commissioned especially for you, weren't they?
They were not commissioned. In fact, David Earl wrote his clarinet concerto about 10, 12 years ago for me. I didn't even know about it until it was finished. It was a surprise, a very, very big honor, of course. And back then, I did do the world premiere of the Earl Concerto. And since that time, I have performed it several more times with orchestras in Europe and America.
But not here.
Not in Cape Town. This will be a Cape Town premiere. And the other piece, Conrad Assmann's Color Concerto, he actually wrote the piece independent of me, but there were no plans for having it performed. And I learned about the piece, discovered it, and saw that it was an absolutely amazing piece that has to be performed. And I said, I want to do this with the Cape Town Philharmonic. We want to record it, etc. And Conrad and I worked together on the piece a little bit. The piece was already finished, but we changed a few things and worked out a few things a little bit in more detail. And then at some point he decided, also without me knowing about it, that he wanted to dedicate the piece to me. So it wasn't written for me, but it is dedicated to me, which of course is also a fantastic honor.
As you say, a great honor.
Yes.
Why is there a reason it's called a color concerto?
Definitely. The piece could actually not have a more apt title.
Really?
Because he explores, first of all the technical possibilities of the instrument, of the clarinet and the orchestra, but also different colors. And he has some very, very creative ideas of creating new and completely unheard colors. And I'm doing techniques in this concerto that I didn't even know existed. I'm pretty sure that he's doing things on the clarinet that have never been done before. And the same for the orchestral writing. It is extremely colorful and exciting. And, you know, he makes these beautiful soundscapes and things that you sometimes won't recognize the instruments that are playing, because they're doing something so unusual, but in a very natural and organic way. It just sounds like they've always been meant to play these techniques.
That's the trick, isn't it, to make it
exactly
sound easy.
It doesn't sound experimental, if I can put it that way. It doesn't sound like someone who's just, you know, having an experiment with the orchestra and doing some random things. Everything is so well thought out and thought through, and it really, really makes a wonderful organic whole.
Was it hard to work on? Because I spoke to your husband, Ariane Tin, just a few weeks ago here on People of Note, and we kind of joked that you had to work very hard. You were doing things, as you've just said,
yeah,
you've never had to do before. But also apparently the orchestral parts,
yeah,
are very tricky.
Exactly. The work is incredibly challenging, and not only because of the extended new techniques. It is very complex. There's always so much happening. Every single moment of the concerto is very rich and a lot happening. So putting it together is very tricky, but even the individual parts and definitely the clarinet part is extremely challenging technically. But, you know, it's been a lot of fun working on it, but I have had to work very hard on this piece.
A few sleepless nights, maybe.
Definitely.
When you say he's given the clarinet unusual things to do, is there anything you can explain what you mean? I mean, without having the clarinet here to demonstrate.
Yeah, for example, something that I'd never come across is a trill with the register key, which on the clarinet, the register key doesn't give you an octave, it gives you a 12th. So that's a really large trill. That's a huge interval to try and make a trill on.
Yeah.
But it sounds amazing. Certain multiphonics or some places where I have to play two notes at the same time and a very soft dynamic in the middle section, which is actually the slow movement of the work. It's eerie and it's atmospheric and it's really, I think you'll be able to hear a pin drop when you listen back to the recording.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, when you say two notes at once, I mean,
yeah.
How do you do that?
It's not really, I didn't know it was possible, to be honest. No, he researched some special fingerings that you can use that will somehow help to split the note, the vibrations in two. But you have to do a lot with your embouchure and play into the mouthpiece in a very particular way so that you catch that note exactly where it splits. And then sustain it in a very soft dynamic.
Wow. Yeah. Is he, Conrad Assmann, a clarinetist at all?
No.
Which makes it even more extraordinary, because then he must have done a huge amount of research.
He did. He definitely did. Yeah.
Do you have to do anything like circular breathing?
I do a lot of circular breathing. It's not particularly called for in this piece, but I need it in a lot of sections where I just would hate to break up the musical line. So I do plenty of that in this piece.
It's an amazing feature, that on its own, and I wish people could see you doing it, because it's quite difficult to explain, isn't it? And yet it works as though you're not breathing, which is
yes, basically
strange.
What you do is when you feel you need a breath, you accumulate air into your cheeks, so you puff up your cheeks, and then you close off your throat so that you don't blow air out of your lungs. You push the air out of your cheeks while you're taking a breath in through your nose.
My goodness.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not even going to try and understand that. But in this concerto, I just find it amazing that Conrad got to know so much about the clarinet, including, as you said, about that trill, working out that note, that key can create that very eerie effect.
Yeah. No, he definitely did a lot of research, and I'm not sure if he was planning to enter this work for the competition, which he won. I do know he ended up winning the competition with another piece. I think this one was just a minute or two too long. Maybe he had that in mind already when he composed it. I'm not entirely sure.
That's the South African Composers
Correct.
Competition.
Yes.
That the Cape Town Philharmonic puts on.
Yeah.
But so we've spoken about that one with Conrad Assmann, but I'd like to talk about David Earle's one as well. But just let's have a music break before that.
Mm-hmm.
And something quite interesting here, you and a pianist have just released a CD of clarinet music for clarinet and piano by only women 20th century composers.
Yes, in fact, it's not only 20th century women composers, but also from the 17th and 18th, no, not really the 17th, but from the 18th and 19th centuries as well, some undiscovered pieces that have never been performed. So I recorded this album with the Dutch pianist Vera Koper, and the album is, in fact, has not been released yet. The official release is only in November. So the listeners actually have a very special treat hearing something. This will be the first airing, I think, of anything from this album.
Thank you.
That was music by Teresa Martin, her piece called Solstice. That talks about Assmann's concerto. And as you said, it's also very tricky for the orchestra. Does he use a large orchestra?
It's a very, very large orchestra.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a whole arsenal of percussion players, full brass, celesta, piano, harp, everything.
My goodness, so he must be very clever in balancing it out as well. Although the clarinet of all the wind instruments has wonderful projection, doesn't it? It doesn't, you don't battle to be heard.
It can, it's not that loud an instrument. It's not a trombone, and I think the oboe maybe has even better projection generally. So I do have to work hard to be heard above the very large orchestral sections, but it works.
The other concerto you did at that concert, which, as I was saying at the beginning, we will be broadcasting, a delayed broadcast, so people will be able to hear what you're talking about, was the concerto by David Earle, a South African composer, now lives in England. And you say this one has been around for a while, mm-hmm. but it's the first South African performance.
No, it's the first Cape Town performance.
Oh, the first Cape Town.
Yeah, the
okay.
world premiere was in Durban.
Okay. Yeah. And tell me about this compared. Are they similar or very different?
They are very, very different. So both are modern works, of course, written in the 21st century. But whereas you could maybe call Conrad's music really modern, not in an atonal or experimental way. It's still very accessible.
Yeah.
David's writing, I would say it's neo-romantic. It really is a very, very tonal, although he does have very rich harmonies and he pushes his harmonic palette as well. But it's you get the feeling that you're listening to romantic music.
And from the point of view of special effects, like you said, Assmann did and his, does David basically stick to what the clarinet can do traditionally?
Yes, he does not use any extended techniques in this work, no.
Okay, and the orchestra, a similar size to?
A little bit smaller, definitely not as many percussion players, also fewer brass. In general, a slightly smaller orchestra, also with winds. I think it's double winds, whereas Assmann uses triple winds.
Yeah, big winds, yeah. And has it been a joy? Was it a joy working and performing the actual concert?
Absolutely. The orchestra is in such fantastic shape. They are all so eager to play. And I think Arjan, I'm not biased at all when I say this, he really brings out the best in them. And we've all enjoyed working on these two pieces so much, even though they're very, very different and they require a different kind of mindset and a different maybe even way of working and approaching them. Mm-hmm. We've really, really enjoyed every moment of preparing these works and performing them.
I know that the orchestra does like Arjan, as does the audience. And I mean, you say the orchestra's in good shape, but he's just taken them through Mahler's Seventh Symphony.
That's true.
And that's probably sparked them up quite a lot.
Definitely. I'm lucky to have received an orchestra that's in tip-top shape,
yeah.
Definitely.
Right at the beginning, Maria, I said that these had been commissioned for you, but they weren't, as you explained. Mm-hmm. Have you had other works commissioned for you?
No, not commissioned, but there's a third concerto, that by Roelof Temming, which was also written for me. Mm-hmm. Also, he just wrote the clarinet concerto and phoned me one day and said, well, I wrote a concerto for you, and I was very honored. And that one, in fact, will also be recorded on the album that we are recording with the Cape Town Philharmonic.
Yes, tell me about that, because when you finish now that mm-hmm. you finished, you're going to go into the recording studio.
Correct. So the day after the concert, we started our recordings at Hugo Lamprecht, and we recorded the two that we performed, as well as Roelof Temming's concerto. So it's a CD of three South African concertos, and it's world premiere recordings. They've mm-hmm. never been recorded before.
And will this CD be released internationally?
Definitely. Yes, it's with the label Channel Classics, and they have worldwide distribution. And that will be sometime next year, although I don't have a date yet.
And this CD that we've just heard a snatch of women composers mm-hmm. For clarinet and piano, that's also on the Channel Classics
label. That's the same label,
isn't it?
Exactly.
Was there, just going back to that CD, was there a reason you and your pianist chose to do that?
That repertoire?
Yeah, that repertoire, just women composers.
Yes. Actually, it started with one piece by a South African female composer, Ivy Priel Reinier. I discovered her piece through my very, very first clarinet teacher, Arisa Voorges, at Hugo Lamprecht. She gave me this piece one day and said, you know, this is such a great piece, but it's hardly ever played. And I looked into that. We started preparing that. And I just thought, yeah, how can we program this? And I got the idea of like, maybe there are more female composers that, you know, their works are a little less known. I started digging and I found a lot, and a lot of very, very good music. And I decided, well, let's put this together. So Vera and I first had a concert program. We toured the Netherlands with it. We played it in quite a few cities around the Netherlands. We also were here in South Africa at the beginning of last year. We did a tour of the whole country with that program. And then we decided we wanted to record it, because we also discovered that a lot of the pieces had never been recorded before. Mm-hmm.
But what fun to do that sort of research.
Definitely.
To try and find out pieces by female composers.
Yes, and especially these works that have somehow been forgotten, you know, from the previous century or even from the 18th century. And they've just kind of slipped through the cracks. But we managed to unearth them, and it's lovely music.
Well, we've heard a track. And you say it's going to be released in November.
That's
internationally.
Right. And then it will also be available for streaming on all the major streaming platforms.
Yeah. And we will feature it here on Fine Music Radio, of course. And perfect material for August, when we're always looking around for women composers. There are a surprising number, aren't there, of women composers.
Definitely,
that we never hear of.
Definitely.
Maybe that's going to change.
I think it is already starting to change, and I see more and more people giving women composers a platform and discovering their music, also on other instruments and orchestral pieces, etc. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, Florence Price, whose whole oeuvre has been discovered in an attic somewhere, and she's now really having a moment.
And it's such lovely music.
Definitely.
Yeah. Maria, let's have another piece of music, and now something very well known, The Dance of the Knights from Prokofiev's Ballet Romeo and Juliet. This is a great favorite of our listeners and everyone, but is there a reason you've chosen it?
I am really a big Prokofiev fan. I always enjoyed playing the music in the orchestra. I think it's really genius music. And of course, this particular track is really well known and a wonderful, fun piece to listen to.
Thank you.
That's a grand sequence from the Romeo and Juliet ballet by Prokofiev, The Dance of the Knights. And it was another choice of my guest this week on People of Note, Maria du Toit, the South African Dutch clarinetist. We have to say Dutch now because you live in the Netherlands, don't
That's
you?
That's true, and I only recently acquired a Dutch passport, and I'm really proud of it. But I'm also still very proud of my South African passport, and I will never give it up.
So. Do you come back fairly often?
I do. I try to come back at least once a year because my parents still live here and brothers. And so I do try and come here for work mostly because then I can, of course, also see my family and friends and old colleagues.
Let's go a bit romantic now. You were playing in the orchestra here, weren't you? You were principal clarinet for a while. And then you met Ariantin, or he met you.
Yeah.
And you know what they say, the rest is history, because you got married, left the orchestra and went to the Netherlands.
Yes.
And where do you live in the Netherlands now?
We live in a small town close to Amsterdam.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is most of your work, Arjan's work, in Amsterdam?
No, Arjan works all over the place. He does teach in Amsterdam, but he also teaches in Maastricht, which is all the way in the south. And then he conducts all over the country and abroad.
And you've got children, haven't you?
We do. Not together, but I have two children and Ariane has two children.
Oh, okay. Well, let's move away from personal things onto something like, I want to just find out more about your background. Were you always going to be a clarinetist, or where did that... Tell me how it started.
Yeah, so I had piano lessons when I was a kid. It wasn't really musical family, like you have to do music, but it was encouraged. I think we all played at least the piano at some point. My brother still plays, but not professionally. And then when I got to high school, I was really starting to get into music. I really enjoyed the piano lessons, but I wanted more. Mm-hmm. And I was drawn to, I think, the woodwind family in general. And I really liked the sound of the clarinet, and I just wanted to give that a go. So when I got to high school, I started taking lessons at the Hugo Lambrechts Music Center. But I continued playing piano, and I did both instruments up till the end of my second year of university at Stellenbosch, where I did a music degree. And then I dropped the piano, and I focused only on the clarinet. So they were in tandem for a long time. And then, yeah, from that moment on, it's always been
and
only
the And
who were
your teachers? You mentioned your first teacher just now.
Yeah, Arisa Voges. Then at Stellenbosch, I studied with Jimmy Reinders. After that, when I got my bachelor's at Stellenbosch, I went to Manhattan School of Music in New York, where I studied with David Krakauer, who also sometimes visits South Africa to perform. Then I went to the Netherlands for a while, where I studied with Bas de Jong in Utrecht.
And this was before you met Ariane.
Yes, yes. This was before I even played in the orchestra. And I also had some lessons in Bulgaria and Sofia with Petko Radev. But that's about it. Yeah.
The clarinet is an interesting instrument because of its being a transposing instrument. So what you see on the paper is not what you're actually reading.
Correct.
Strangely. And there are also the various types of clarinets, aren't there?
Yes. So a professional clarinetist will always have two. One is in the key of B flat and the other one's in the key of A. And that is actually because in previous centuries when the clarinet had a lot fewer keys, it could only play in two or three keys and you'd have to pick up another instrument for a different key.
In the middle of the performance, yes.
Exactly. So I think they must have had clarinets back then in quite a few keys. Most of them are not used anymore. Actually, just the B flat and the A that have survived. Of course, they still exist, clarinets in D and C and whatever, but they are definitely a lot less common. And then we have the little baby E flat clarinet, which is still used more as an effect because it's really high. And, of course, the bass clarinet.
Mm-hmm. What is the Chalmano register? That's the bass clarinet, isn't
no,
it?
No, actually, the clarinet itself has, you could say, three, four registers. The bottom part of the clarinet is called the Chalmano. And then you get into sort of the throat register, which is more connecting it to the next one, which is the clarion register, and then upper clarion and altissimo, which is the highest register.
Because is it not true that Mozart, when he wrote his clarinet concerto, as well as the quintet, wrote very low notes for it in that Chalmano register?
The Mozart clarinet concerto was actually written for a different instrument called a basset clarinet. So it's the same as our A clarinet that we still use, but it's a bigger instrument and where the A clarinet goes down to a low E, when we play it, we call it an E. This basset clarinet that Mozart wrote for goes down all the way to a C. So when that concerto is performed, it's usually changed in a couple of spots because, you know, he used the instrument all the way down to that low C, but of course we don't have that on the A clarinet. And now it's becoming much more popular, actually, to play it on that basset clarinet. Manufacturers are making them again, and people are using them specifically for the Mozart concerto.
So what would you use for the Mozart concerto?
Well, I don't have a basset clarinet. I would love to have one day. And if I do, I would prefer that because that is authentic. But, I mean, I don't have it, so I play it on the regular A clarinet.
I remember you were talking about the very high clarinet, the squeaky one. You said used for special effects. A clarinet that I knew well in Johannesburg, I remember being absolutely terrified at a passage in Till Eulenspiegel, Richardstrauss, which has a very loud and very high, so much so that it actually doesn't sound like a clarinet.
Yeah,
that is a famous part.
That is a very famous E-flat clarinet solo. Another one is in the Symphonie Fantastique by Berlioz and, of course, Rite of Spring. So it has a very particular sound. And I think it's a wonderful addition to the symphony orchestra in certain pieces of music. You wouldn't want to hear it in a Beethoven symphony, but it definitely has its own color. And
what I've always thought, Maria, is that Beethoven, talking about Beethoven, he wrote beautiful parts of the clarinet, don't you agree? In his symphonies, his concertos, mm-hmm.
and
lovely
his,
clarinet
And chamber
parts.
Music also. He wrote a beautiful trio for cello, clarinet, and piano.
That's right.
Yeah.
Gosh, that's a lovely trio.
Wonderful.
In fact, you've reminded me we must play it more on FMR. But talking about music, your next piece is by Tchaikovsky from his sixth symphony, the Pathetique. And your reason for choosing this, Maria?
Well, when I was still in the orchestra, I think I have a lot of favorite composers, but one of my favorite composers to play was always Tchaikovsky. I really, really love Tchaikovsky's music, also the ballet music, not only the symphonies. And I just chose this because I find it so beautiful.
Thank you. Music by Tchaikovsky there, the Pathétique. And it was another choice of my guest on People of Note this week, Maria du Toit, the South African Dutch clarinetist. You are proud, aren't you, as you said earlier, of being able to be called Dutch now and be absolutely serious. But
yes,
still South African.
Definitely.
To the core.
I do feel now that I can call myself Dutch, but I will always be South African.
But Maria, it sounds as though you are in fact very busy. You do a lot of traveling, don't you? And you do masterclasses, for example. Do you enjoy that sort of thing?
Very much. It is always really, I enjoy giving back to students and sharing the things that I have learned and discovered myself, and just being able to share knowledge and to see how students grow and develop. That is a privilege, I would say.
And chamber music?
I do a lot of chamber music. I have a reed quintet back home, which is also a new kind of ensemble. It's a 21st century thing. But the combination of reed instruments is very unique because, first of all, the blend is incredible. Because they're all reed instruments. To my ear, it blends even better than the traditional wind quintet.
Okay, let's just get this right.
Yeah.
So what are the reed instruments?
You have a clarinet.
Yes, oboe.
An oboe.
Bassoon.
And a bassoon. But then you also have a bass clarinet and a saxophone.
So they
all blend fantastically. But the other thing is it's so versatile because you have the traditional instruments, the clarinet, oboe, and bassoon. But then you have the more modern instruments, the sax and the bass clarinet, which makes the ensemble lend itself to a whole other kind of repertoire. You know, reed quintets play everything from, I don't know, Baroque music to jazz to world music to
presumably
modern composition.
Transcribed.
Yes, a lot
or
of it is transcribed.
Any original work?
There is so much being written for reed quintet because it's really taken off, and there's a ton of modern contemporary compositions being written especially for the reed quintet. Also, some South African composers have written for it, like Arthur Feder. So it's definitely having its moment now.
I'm most intrigued to hear what a reed quintet sounds like. You'll have to guide me.
Okay.
Later. So it's important to distinguish between a reed quintet and a wind quintet.
Yes.
Because wind has horn and flute.
Has horn and flute instead of the bass clarinet and saxophone.
Yeah. So just generally with like, it's a silly question. You must love, for example, the Mozart clarinet quintet, the Brahms clarinet quintet.
Yes.
They wrote such beautiful music for the clarinet.
Absolutely. So, yeah, that's another one of my favorite forms of chamber music is the clarinet with string quartet. But I also really love clarinet trio together with cello and piano. There's a lot of repertoire. And also clarinet with violin and piano. There's also fantastic repertoire for that combination. So I love playing trios and, of course, the reed quintet and any other chamber music. It's such a vast world of music that we can
take. And sometimes I think we don't hear enough of it.
I think so. Yeah, I think there can be more chamber music in South Africa. I must say in the Netherlands, there's a lot. You can pick and choose every single day of the year which chamber music concert you want to go to.
Tell me what it's like to play in the Royal Concertgebouw Hall.
It's a dream come true.
One hears so much about that hall and its
goodness.
Acoustics.
Not only that, of course, the acoustics are perfect. But the whole atmosphere, just walking into that building, and you can almost feel the history of everyone and all the music that has been performed there. You know, they have the names of the composers up on the balconies,
yes.
And you just feel you're in this building with so much history and such a rich, history of music that it's incredibly special. But of course, the hall is absolutely beautiful. It's huge. It is always in perfect condition. It's extremely expensive to if you were to hire it.
Yes.
But it's impeccably maintained. Yeah.
Do you miss playing in an orchestra at all?
I do sometimes, especially when I'm at a live orchestra concert of music that I really enjoy. Then I definitely do miss it sometimes. I'm not going to lie about that.
But you've got, as I said before, a very busy career. Let's have another piece of music. Now, this next piece, Maria, comes off the same CD that we heard a while ago, the music for clarinet and piano by women composers.
That's right.
So what is this that we're about to hear?
We're going to listen to the Arabesque by the French composer Germaine Taillefer. And she was one of Les Six, you know, with Poulenc. She was the only woman in that group of composers.
I didn't know there was a woman in
So she was actually very important in her time, but then she kind of, you know, disappeared. I wouldn't say completely, because if you look at that CD, she is more one of the more well-known composers, but still you can't compare her fame to Poulenc, for example.
Of course. That was an arabesque for piano and clarinet. You have to tell me the name of the composer, Maria, because it's a bit tricky.
Germaine Taillefer.
Oh, okay. It's from a CD, which has recently been released, so it's not released yet. You said it's being released in November, of music by women composers for the combination of clarinet and piano. So, just as we approach the end of the program, one of the things that struck me when I was reading about you is that you are quite clearly a true ambassador for music by South African composers, which is something to be congratulated for, because it's so easily overlooked by people who may have left the country.
Yeah. I do always make a point of playing and performing pieces by South African composers whenever I have a choice, and especially at important events like, for example, Clarinet Fest, which is this huge congress of clarinetists from all around the world that happens every year. When I go there, I make sure I play music by South African composers, but also, you know, taking the Earl to America and things like that, and now recording this CD with only South African composers on it.
And that international festival you're talking about, weren't you one of the headline artists there?
Yeah, that was last year. I was invited to be a headliner, as they call it. So that meant that I played in the main concert with symphony orchestra, and then I played the Earl concerto, and it was very, very well received.
Oh, good for David as well.
Yes.
At the concert a couple of weeks ago, where you did the Earl and the Usman, I think the composers were there, were they, or not?
Yes, they were both there. Both. Yeah.
Which, how does it feel playing with the actual composer there?
It is actually so wonderful to have them there, because then my only or my biggest goal is to make the composer happy. I just want them to say, wow, I really loved what you did with my piece. It just shifts your focus a bit when the composer is there, or you know they will listen to it, because you want to do justice to their wonderful music, and then that becomes your focus. So it's a very nice mindset to have when you
so
play
no
a concert.
So no nerves, in fact.
No, not at all.
Exactly
no.
The opposite.
Yes.
And I saw some rehearsal pictures. The composers worked with you during rehearsals, didn't they?
Yes. Conrad was there from the beginning, and David came at the final dress rehearsal.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did they help you there? I mean, especially, as you said, Conrad's piece is very tricky.
Yeah.
Would he give you advice and help?
He definitely played a big role in sorting out things with the orchestra. Of course, because the work has never been performed, there were quite a lot of questions. That it's always like that with a new piece. So it was really a treat to have him there and just have a clear answer straight away. This is how I want it, and this is what you should do here or there. It was very, very helpful to have him there.
One of the things I want to ask you about, two things I still want to ask you, is what sort of clarinets do you play?
I play on Canadian instruments. They are called Bakun. The maker of the instruments is Maury Bakun, and I know him personally. He's also always at these clarinet congresses that I talked about. So I saw him in Dublin earlier in the summer. And so I play on an instrument by Maury Bakun. It is made of cocobolo wood, which is not the more traditional granadilla wood. And I've been playing on that for about 8 years now already.
Mm-hmm. Both your clarinets?
Yes, it's a set.
And apart from the clarinets that you play, do you have a sort of hero clarinetist that's been around at the moment that may be around still or is long gone?
There are so many incredible players these days.
I thought you might say that.
Really, but if I have to single out one person that I think has done the most for the clarinet and extending and expanding the possibilities of the instrument, it has to be Martin Frost.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I didn't expect you to say that. But he really has, hasn't he, an extensive recording.
He has pushed the boundaries of the instrument and made us all hear things that nobody ever thought was possible on a clarinet. And he went there and did it. And then, you know, he just raises the bar for everyone else. So mm-hmm. I have to give him credit for really being a leader.
But as you say, the clarinet is a lovely instrument and there's so many brilliant players.
Definitely.
But now, what about you're in Cape Town now and you done these concerts now, you leave. What's next on your very busy agenda?
The second half of October, I will be traveling to China, where I'll do, it's just for a week. I will be performing in three different cities with a pianist. So that's next on the menu. And after that, gosh, I don't look that far ahead into my schedule.
Might be too frightening.
Yeah.
And you'll panic. But in the meantime, you will have just completed your recordings here in Cape Town.
Yes,
remind
that's
us what
right.
These two clarinets you've
yes,
just played.
Yes, the concerto by Konrad Osman, David Earl, and Roelof Temming.
And that's going to be released internationally.
Next year.
And don't you agree that the Hugo Lamprecht Auditorium is the most ideal sound
absolutely
I think we've got in Cape Town?
I love recording in that venue. The acoustics are perfect, and it's also so wonderful to be back there because that's where my clarinet journey started.
Exactly.
So to come full circle and make these recordings there, it's really wonderful.
Did you make the Spohr clarinet concertos? Because you famously have a two CD set of the four clarinet concertos by Louis Spohr, which we play often, just mm-hmm. by the way.
Wonderful. Yeah, we recorded them there as well.
Okay. Maria, I have to let you go now, but before you go, your last piece of music I see is by Ravel with a twist.
Yes. I would like to hear Ravel's Tombeau de Couperin, but the piano version. Maybe just to pay tribute to my piano playing past. I do still regret that I don't play the piano anymore. Even though I love the orchestral version, I think the piano version can be played a bit more often as well.
And it was the original, wasn't it?
It was the original.
And we're going to hear part of the first movement.
Yes.
Okay, here we go. And before that, let me thank you. Maria Dutoy was my guest. You'll be able to hear her performances of the clarinet concerto by David Earl and Konrad Osman very soon here on our Symphony at 7, the delayed broadcast. We'll tell you all about that as that week approaches. Maria, thank you and all the best.
Thank you very much, Rodney.
Thank you.
People of Note on Fine Music Radio was proudly brought to you by Peter Turin Productions.